On Monday, we took note of the fact that the biggest trend in the American workforce since 1999 has been the growth of people who have left the workforce altogether. We looked at the reasons for male workers' non-participation in the labor force and where they go when they leave. Today, Claire Kane Miller, reporter for Upshot, a New York Times website covering policy and everyday life, looks at the very different situation for women. Women's revolutionary gains in the 20th century workforce have been stalled by a lack of foresight and policies to help families.
The workforce participation of men has been declining steadily for many, many decades. For women, meanwhile, it had been climbing very steeply since the 70s. It had been climbing since the 40s when more women entered the workforce when men were away during World War II. But in the 70s, it really started to climb during the feminist revolution and climbed considerably all the way until 1999. And at that point, it just stopped. It started plateauing and for many groups of women actually declining. And that has been one of the biggest mysteries to economists who look at this, particularly because in other wealthy countries, including many countries in Europe, it has continued to increase during that time.
Is there an event that explains the plateau? Is there a divergence in the population of groups of women, some of which are declining, some of which continue to rise, that sort of gets into the details of this plateauing?
The workforce participation hasn't really continued to rise for any group of women, but it has declined much more steeply for women without significant education and women who work in low-income jobs. And that really reflects what's also been happening for men, which is that the American economy right now is a much easier place to be if you have education, and you are much more likely to be able to find a job if you're highly educated. But what has been different for women than men, and what has been different between the United States and some countries in Europe in that period of time, is that there have been basically no policies at the federal level and in many workplaces that help women balance career and family. And meanwhile, in Europe, they have added so many policies like that and expanded their policies. I'm talking about things like parental leave and subsidized childcare. And that really points to a lot of the difference between what's happened with women in the United States and elsewhere since the beginning of this century.
So statistically, it seems like we're seeing a rise in workforce participation by women that can be explained by the abatement of raw discrimination over gender issues. But then once you get to the end of the 20th century, the weight of not having any compensatory benefit programs deal with some of these work career issues, that begins to drag on the workforce participation, and you see women choosing to really avoid the dilemmas that are caused by not having the same benefit packages that exist elsewhere.
That's right. The 70s were a time of such change. Women started controlling their reproduction, which means that they didn't have to stay home with kids until they decided to have kids. They were marrying later. They were divorcing more often. They were getting college degrees. And all of this meant, and like you said, discrimination was subsiding. And all of this meant that women were entering the workforce in really large numbers. And then what happened in the United States is basically it all stopped. There have been no federal policies since 1993 that address anything about people who have responsibilities for childcare outside of the office. And a lot of my readers have said, don't men have children too? Why is this not about men? Exactly. But in our culture and in most American families, the brunt of the burden for childcare and housework still falls upon women. And, you know, single parents are more likely to be mothers. And so that's why this is a women's issue that we're talking about.
Who represents this sort of frustration plateau that you've outlined in your piece?
Well, one of the women in my piece is named Carrie Devine, and she lives in right outside Seattle, Washington. But she grew up in England, and she said that all her friends in the United States, like her, quit their jobs when they had kids. All her friends in Europe, though, are still working after they had kids. And she basically said she got 12 weeks of maternity leave, and she just could not leave a 12-week-old in daycare. But in England, where she grew up, they get a year of maternity leave and it's almost all paid. She said if she'd had a year, she would still be in the workforce today. I do want to point out that this is not the classic story we hear about highly educated women leaving work who have the luxury, who have maybe husbands who make a lot of money, who, you know, people have called it the opt-out revolution. This is much more of an issue among lower income and working class people, people who are single mothers, people who just don't make enough at their jobs to cover the cost of childcare, and so it stops making sense for them to work.
So economically, women are forced into a kind of Hobson's choice that their job isn't going to do them any good, even if they want to be a contributing member of the household if they happen to be married or with a partner. And in the case of low-income women, if they do leave the workforce, it's kind of a one-way street. They don't get to go back.
It's very difficult to go back. That's another thing about the American economy right now, is that anybody who leaves, if you're out for any period of time, you know, more than a year, you lose so many skills, you become very difficult to hire. And that's what a lot of the women that I spoke to said, is that they'd like to go back to work when their kids are in school and when childcare does not become such an issue anymore, but they just don't know if they can get hired. And one woman I spoke to in Southern California, I think really exemplifies the problem here. The problem is, of course, not people who voluntarily want to be out of the workforce, who want to be stay-at-home moms. That's great if they can do it. The problem is when people want to work. And this woman, she has two children. She lives in Southern California. She's a single parent. She loves to work. She wants to be able to support her family. She doesn't want to depend on anyone else. But she literally said she can't do it because she has no childcare. The jobs that she can get do not afford her childcare. When she was having morning sickness during her pregnancy, her office didn't, her workplace, which was a restaurant, didn't offer her sick leave. And so she had no choice but to quit.
Claire Kane Miller is a reporter for the New York Times Upshot in the San Francisco Bureau. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.